joy to be here tonight. I appreciate the opportunity, the privilege of being here. I'm glad my wife is with me tonight. Linda, you stand up and let everybody see how pretty you are. She told me several years ago that she would follow me to the dropping off place. And then she said, I'll drop off with you. You can't ask for more than that. I appreciate her and love her and glad she's here tonight. I've enjoyed this meeting. It's been precious. I appreciate every message. I've enjoyed every part except Brother Tom telling about all those cars that have been given to him. And I've been given a hard time a few times, and that's about it. I'm glad. My life is just kind of being, you know, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. I got up this morning and opened a Coke. Hello? Opened a Coke and looked under the lid, and it said, try again. I thought, that's the way I always open a Coke. What did I do wrong? I don't get it. I got down and out one time and going down the road and called this suicide hotline. I mean, I was desperate. And some Islam person answered the phone. I told him I was down and out, just thinking about ending it all. And instead of trying to help me, they got excited. Wanted to know if I'd be willing to drive a truck. it's not good. Just not good. But I've appreciated being here and the meals and appreciate every message. It's been great. I want you to turn tonight, if you will, to the book of Genesis. And I promise I'm not going to keep you long. I've been debating as to what the Lord would have me share with you. But I just want to talk to you for a few moments from this one verse of Scripture. Normally, when you have a meeting like this, people come because they're hungry. And they come because they need something. They come expecting to get something. I know there have been a lot of times I've gone to meetings just like this. And I was on empty. And I went there with the hope and anticipation that God would do something for me. And I just want to share this one little thought with you tonight. Hope it'll be a blessing. Exodus chapter 32. Genesis, you're right. Genesis 32, verse 26. Book of Genesis, give or take a couple of books. Let's all stand once again. Verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Our Father, tonight we thank you for what we've already heard, for the songs of Zion, for the fellowship that we've enjoyed, for the wonderful meal. Lord, it's been good to be here. I know that many of those here tonight have to get up early in the morning. They have responsibilities and obligations to fulfill. I know others will be on the road going back to their prospective homes and places of ministry. And I know, Lord, that many are tired, but I pray, oh God, that you would help me in these next few moments to help everybody under the sound of my voice. Give us something, oh God, that'll make these few extra moments worthwhile. And we're going to give you the praise and the honor. Even now, we bless your name for what you've already done and for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could sit down tonight and write a letter to God, and in your letter, you were permitted to ask God for just one thing, what would you ask God for? I'm glad we're not restricted to a letter, and we're not confined to just one request. But I want you to focus tonight on that one special need in your life. That one special burden upon your heart. What would you ask God for? I know many of you have children that you're burdened over. You have family members that you're burdened over. And if you could ask God for any one thing, you would ask God to save your family, to save your lost loved ones. Could be somebody here tonight that's experiencing physical challenges. Your health is failing. And if you could ask God for any one thing, you'd ask God to touch your body. There could be those who are suffering emotionally. You're discouraged, some even depressed. And if you could ask God for any one thing, you would ask God to let the birds sing again in your heart, to let the sun shine through, to give you your life back, to pull you out of that dark hole. What would you ask God for? No doubt there are those here tonight who are seeking direction in your life. You need direction. You need wisdom. You need for God to make his path for your life plain and clear to you. There may be somebody that would say, preacher, if I could ask God for any one thing, I would ask God to touch my life, to use me for his glory, to fill me with his power. What would you ask God for? The reason I'm asking you to focus on that one special burden, that one greatest need in your life, is because in these verses, Jacob had a burden. He had a need. And God met his need. And I'd like for us to look at some truths connected to God meeting Jacob's need. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would use these truths in our lives in helping us to receive our special blessing. Lord, I need a blessing. The first thing I want you to notice in these verses is Jacob's desperation. I believe in these verses, Jacob is walking in the lowest valley he's ever experienced. I believe these are the darkest hours he's ever known. Jacob has come to the end of his road. There's no one to turn to, no place to go. As a matter of fact, nothing short of a miracle is going to help Jacob now. He needs a blessing. And by the way, when you come to the end of your road, when you're at the end of yourself, when there's no place for you to go, no one that you can turn to, when nothing short of a miracle will help you, don't panic. It could be that God is preparing you and getting you ready to receive your blessing. I believe there are at least two things that contributed to Jacob's desperation. If you'll look back in the chapter in verse number 7, the Bible says, then Jacob was greatly afraid. That word greatly is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It means that Jacob was greatly afraid. He was greatly afraid. You see, Jacob is en route to Canaan. He's going back. He's been in Paddan Aram for 20 years serving his uncle Laban. He left home because Esau, his brother, had made a vow to kill him. Esau was a rustic man, a hunter, a man of the field. Jacob, on the other hand, was a mama's boy. And when Esau vowed to kill Jacob, Jacob started running. And he didn't stop until he could literally sing, I'm 500 miles away from home. And for 20 years, Jacob lived under a cloud of fear. But now, he's going back. To be on the safe side, he sends messengers before him. They aren't gone very long until they come back and they said, Jacob, we met Esau just down the road. He's got an army of men with him. And by the way, Jacob, did we mention that he was coming to see you? Then was Jacob greatly afraid. He's not only afraid, but if you look in verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone. The only thing worse than being afraid is to be afraid and be alone. Can you imagine going through the darkest valley you've ever experienced and having to walk through that valley alone? He's carrying the heaviest burden he's ever carried, and he's carrying it alone. He's in his most difficult crisis, and he's facing it alone. Jacob is a desperate man. Now I want to ask you a question. I don't know what came to your mind when I asked the question. If you could ask God for one thing, what would you ask him for? Maybe you don't need anything from God. Maybe you don't want anything from God. But if you do have a burden, if you do have a need, how desperate are you? We say we want to see our loved ones saved, but I'm afraid we're not desperate enough. We say we want to see revival, but I'm afraid we're just not desperate enough. We want God to use us. We want the power of God on our lives, but we're just not desperate enough. It was desperation that caused the children of Israel to cry out from Egyptian bondage and beg God for deliverance. It was desperation that drove Hannah to the temple and pray as a woman of a sorrowful spirit, saying, God, if you'll give me a baby boy, I promise I'll give him back. It was desperation that caused the prodigal to say, I'll arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Jacob was desperate. Number two. Notice Jacob was determined. And he said, let me go for the day breaketh. And if you'll study the verses that pertain to this event, you'll discover that Jacob was not wrestling with just a man or not just an angel. This was God. He called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. As the day was breaking, God said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I'm not turning loose. I'm not giving up. I'm not letting go, Lord. I need a blessing. He was determined. Determined. I can't help but think about the little widow woman who came one day to an unjust judge. I'm glad we're serving a just God. We're serving a God that always does the right thing. This judge was an unjust judge, and the Bible said he regarded neither God nor man. I'm glad I serve a God tonight that is just, and I'm glad he loves me with an unconditional love. I could never do anything that would cause him to love me more or cause him to love me less than he does right now. She came to this unjust judge, this judge that regarded neither God nor man, and she cried, avenge me of mine adversaries. His response was, what have I to do with thee? I don't have time for you. I don't care about your adversaries. Don't bother me. Just leave me alone. can see him as he starts to walk away. He feels that tug at his cloak and he turns around and there she is. Avenge me of mine adversaries! I told you once, I don't care about you or your adversaries. I don't have time for you. Get away! Leave me alone. He proceeds to walk off. Turns around, there she is again. Avenge me of mine adversaries. She kept on and on and on. And finally, he said, all right. Not because he loved her. Not because he was concerned. Not because he was moved with compassion. But because of her importunity. Her request was granted. How determined are you? How determined are you? Are you willing to lay hold of the horns of the altar and cry, God, I'm not giving up. I'm not turning loose. I'm not letting go except thou bless me. Lord, I need a blessing. I want you to notice the third truth. There was a demand involved. Verse 28, and he said, or verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? Now this is God talking. What is thy name? Why would God ask Jacob his name? Why would deity ask questions? Adam, where art thou? Don't you think God knew where Adam was? Cain, where is thy brother? What is this thou hast done? Don't you think God knew? When Jesus called out to the disciples, children! Have ye any meat? Don't you think he knew their nets were empty? As a matter of fact, he was responsible for their nets being empty. If he knew the answer, why did he ask the question? What is that? You think God is having a senior moment? One way you can tell you're getting old is when you find yourself holding your little medicine bottle and you're asking yourself, did I take this or was I getting ready to take it? You think God was just having a senior moment? Here they are, Jacob is wrestling with the Lord, and all of a sudden, God said, I know you, I knew your daddy, I know your grandpa. Now let's see, you're, don't tell me it's on the tip of my tongue, you're, what'd you say your name was? Why would God ask Jacob his name? I was in the pulpit preaching, and for the first time, I mean, God just showed me something, just bam. I realized that this was not the first time Jacob had been asked that question. Who are you?
What is your name? But then again, it's not the first time Jacob had asked for a blessing either. You remember Jacob went before his blind father, Isaac. He was old and well stricken in years. He had disguised himself as Esau. And as he approached his father, he said, I've come for a blessing. Give me a blessing. And Isaac asked Jacob the question, who are you? What's your name? And he said, I'm Esau, your firstborn son. And he lied to his father about who he was. Now, once again, Jacob finds himself crying, give me a blessing. I want a blessing. And once again, the question comes ringing out, who are you? What is your name? He's not talking to his blind daddy this time. He's talking to the great I am. And he said, I'm Jacob. Now, you do understand what's happening here. The word Jacob means supplanter. It means manipulator, conniver. It suggests that he was a deceiver. And he had lived up to his name. And when he said, Jacob, this is Jacob, he knew what he was saying. This is the supplanter. The deceiver. This is the conniver, the manipulator. But you see, before he could realize his special blessing, he had to confess the truth about himself. And that's not easy. Did you know that perception is reality? The way you view yourself, the way you see yourself, the way I see myself is real to me. The way you perceive yourself is real to you. We had a lady that came to our church that was in the final stages of anorexia. And my wife can tell you, she almost, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I'm not making fun of her, but she looked freakish. She had lost so much weight. Her eyes had sunk back into her head. She looked like a skeleton with skin stretched over it. And even when I put my hand on her, you could feel every little bone in her shoulder and in her back. And this is what she told me. She said, when I stand in the mirror and look at myself, all I can see is fat. I'm so fat. They would force her to eat. Then she would get alone and make herself throw up. Because when she looked in that mirror, she saw fat and it was real to her. Now, it's easy for us to find faults in others. And I hate to be the one to tell you this, We've all got issues. You say, well, so-and-so's not living right. I'm going to tell you, friend, none of us are living right. We've all got issues. It's easy for us to hate sin in the lives of others. It's easy to condemn sin in the lives of others. But I'm afraid when we look at a mirror and we see ourselves, we see what we want to see. You say, but wait a minute, preacher, if I know my own heart, that's the problem. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's hard to see the truth about yourself. You know, I don't like cameras. I don't like cameras. And there's a good reason. They lie. They do. Cameras lie on me. I know they do. I've looked at pictures of myself, and I'll say, that's not a good picture of me. In my mind, I'm thinking, I know I look better than that. That's just not a good picture of me. I'm not that. Big mirrors do the same thing. They lie. Have you ever walked down the mall and you know those big windows they have and you look in those windows and see yourself? And I've gone down the mall just walking along and all of a sudden, that must be one of those trick windows. I know I'm not that fat. By the way, you can tell when you're getting fat if your belt buckle always faces the ground. I don't like cameras. I don't like mirrors. They lie about me when the truth is, that's me in that picture. Yes, my nose is really that long. But it's hard to see the truth about yourself. What is thy name? When Brian was a teenager going to a school in our area, I got a call one day from the principal's office, and he said, Mr. Edwards, where is your son? And I said, he's in school. He said, Mr. Edwards, your son is not in school. He didn't show up today. I thought, well, I don't know. He got up this morning and left for school. He said, where was your son yesterday? I said, he was in school yesterday. Mr. Edwards, I hate to tell you, but your son was not in school yesterday. Where was your son day before yesterday? And by this time I'm saying, in school? He said, Mr. Edwards, your son has not been to school all week. And I thought you needed to know about that. I said, thank you for calling. I'll take care of it. We had a swing out in our front yard. So at 3:30, I was out there in the swing, just a swinging. All of a sudden, that black Camaro pulls into the driveway, and Brian jumps out of the car, and he starts toward the front door. And I said, Brian, come here. That's Southern for come here. Come here a minute. Old Brian sat down beside me, and I just talked about different things. You know, how's your car doing? And then I got around to, how was school today? Oh, school was good today, Daddy. Had a good day at school. Talked on a little bit more, and then I said, well, how was school yesterday? He said, school was good yesterday. Had a good day. That's great. How about the day before? He said, Daddy, school's been good all week. It's been great. And I said, Brian, I know. And he had that concerned look on his face and said, you know what? I said, Brian, your principal called today. I spoke with your principal. I know. And he said, Daddy, if you knew, why were you asking me all these questions? If you knew I wasn't at school, why were you asking me these questions? I said, because, Brian, I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell me the truth. I said, it would have been so much better, instead of lying, if you had just told me the truth. What is thy name? God knew. But he was giving Jacob an opportunity to confess the truth. Does that burden on your heart tonight, that need in your life, is it big enough? Is it important enough? Does it mean enough to you that you're willing to stand before a holy God and open the doors to the rooms in your heart that even you don't even like to think about? Are you willing to pray, God, no more hiding, no more running, no more pretending? Fourth, and I'm done. There is a disguise connected to Jacob's blessing. If you're wondering what Jacob's blessing was connected to, if you look back in the chapter at verse 11, he prayed, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. Jacob's blessing was connected to deliverance from the hand of Esau. But when he finishes praying, he's back to being Jacob. He gathers all of these animals. He numbers them. He tells his servants, you take all of these animals and you give them to Esau as a present, as a gift from me. And you tell Esau all of these animals are a gift from his servant, Jacob. And he said, I will appease Esau with this gift, peradventure he will accept of me. He wasn't sure God was big enough to handle it. Now Jacob is praying, oh God, I need a blessing. Give me a blessing. I will not let them go. I don't know how Jacob was expecting God to answer his prayer. Maybe Jacob was expecting God to send a legion of angels. Maybe Jacob was expecting God just to smite Esau. I don't know if he was expecting God to give him the strength of 1,000 Samson. I don't know what Jacob was expecting God to do. But let me tell you what God did. The Bible says that God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh so that it was out of joint. If you read on down in the chapter, the last verse tells us that the sinew, the tendons in his thighs shrunk pulling his thighs out of joint. And if you look in verse number 31, the Bible says, and as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. That word halted can mean to limp. But in this particular verse, if you'll study that word halted, it means that Jacob was lame on that hip. That's why God said, let me go. Once the Lord touched Jacob's thigh, the sinews, the tendons, the muscles shrank, and the thigh was pulled out of joint. Jacob was lame on that thigh. All he could do was hold on. Wrestling was over. He was holding on. And God said, let me go. Greatest thing ever happened to Jacob. You see, before, just like in the early part of the chapter, Jacob had always walked on his own two feet. He had always been able to manipulate his way, to connive his way through every situation. He could handle it. But not now. He's going to have to learn a song he's never sung before. Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean. Finally, the hour arrives. Jacob finds himself standing before Esau. He bows himself 7 times to the ground. He refers to himself as Esau's servant. When his name had been changed to Israel, which means God controls or God commands. He was not Esau's servant. He was God's servant. He just needed to be who God said he was. He held out his neck, and the Bible says that Esau fell on his neck and kissed him. And Esau had compassion on Jacob. He forgave him. I imagine about this time, Brother Billy, Jacob is probably thinking, man, I'm glad I sent those animals. I knew it would work. I just knew it would work. And about that time, Esau said, all these animals mean? And Jacob said, oh, they're yours. I sent them to you as a gift. Esau said, I don't want them. You take them. I've got animals of my own. I don't need your animals. I don't want your. That was just God's way of saying to Jacob, your conniving, your deception, your supplanting had nothing to do with this. If it wasn't the animals, what was it? You may not agree with me, and that's fine. I believe Esau came to kill Jacob. He brought an army with him, 450 men. I believe he came to make good on his promise. If it wasn't the animals, what touched his heart? When Esau looked across the horizon and saw his brother coming, dragging that one leg, lame on that thigh. I believe God used that thigh being out of joint to touch Esau's heart. And he forgave him. Now, right here's what I want you to see. Jacob got his blessing, but it came in disguise. At the very beginning of the message, I ask you the question. If you could write a letter to God, and in that letter, you were permitted to ask God for one thing, what would it be? Are you willing to receive your blessing in God's way, not yours? Are you willing to receive your blessing on God's terms, not yours? In God's time, and not yours. Because sometimes blessings come in disguise. My wife can tell you that in 1994, my life changed forever. As I look back now, I understand that my sickness, my condition, my pain was God's gift to me. It's become a part of me, a part of who I am. It was at that point, while I was praying, God, why? I don't understand. Lord, why is this happening to me? I didn't know at that time that it was a blessing in disguise. The nights I laid on the floor in a fetal position begging God to take me to heaven. I wanted relief. I didn't know it was a blessing in disguise. It was God's gift to me. Sometimes blessings come in disguise. I guess my favorite songwriter of all time, apart from David or Solomon, but greatest songwriter of all time to me was Fanny Crosby. She wrote so many songs. Blessed Assurance, Jesus Is Mine. She wrote, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Hear My Humble Cry. Safe in the Arms of Jesus, right after her baby died. Tell Me the Story of Jesus, Write on My Heart Every Word. Wrote so many wonderful songs, but Fanny Crosby was blind. And when she gave her testimony, she always thanked God for being blind, because her songs came to her through her blindness. The song Pass Me Not, I've read the story behind that song. They were out of jail, and a minister had preached, and she had provided the special music, and several of the prisoners had responded. They were leaving the jail, and all of a sudden she heard a faint cry, Please don't pass me by, don't pass me by. And she stopped, and she walked toward the voice and found herself at the bedside of a prisoner that was too sick to respond, yet God had worked in his heart, and he was saying, Don't pass me by, please don't pass me by. And so it was that night she sat at her table and wrote the words, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Fanny Crosby lost her sight when she was a little baby. She had some type of infection in her eyes. Her father went into town to get some medicine. The doctor was out on a call. He left someone to attend the office, and by mistake, he gave Fanny Crosby's father some cream that was to be used on large animals like horses and cows. And he went home, not knowing what the results would be, and rubbed that salve on his baby girl's eyes. And it claimed her vision. I can't imagine the guilt that he must have felt. What did we ever do? But you see, little did anybody realize that night that little baby girl losing her sight was a blessing in disguise. And that years after she'd gone to heaven, we'd still be singing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Lord, I need a blessing. I want you to stand with me, if you will, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Eric, could what do you need from God tonight? This is the last night of the camp meeting. It's all come down to this moment. What's that burden on your heart? That need in your life? If you could ask God for one thing, God, this is it. It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. How desperate are you? How determined are you? Are you willing to confess the truth about who you are? No running, no hiding, no pretending. That little Canaanite woman, after Jesus had called her a dog, said, "Truth, Lord, you're right. Nothing more than a dog, but even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Are you willing to receive your blessing on God's terms? We're going to pray in just a moment. I wonder how many of you have a need tonight. You'd meet me around this altar right now. We're just going to pray together. Lord, I need a blessing. I need a blessing. I need a blessing. God, I need a blessing. You know, sometimes those unspoken requests are the heaviest requests. It's those requests that you can't even talk about. You don't even have the liberty to share them with your church family. Lord, I need a blessing. We're going to pray. Anybody else tonight want to just meet with us around the altar while we pray? You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be ashamed to come. Lord, as we bow in your presence, I'm so thankful that as Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And on this side of Calvary, we have access into the very holy of holies through the blood of our Savior. Lord, you tell us that you see the sparrow when it falls from the sky, and you remind us that we're more precious to you than the sparrow. Lord, you know every tear we shed, every need we have, every burden we carry, every pain we experience. Nothing we could say tonight would catch you by surprise. Lord, you know the burdens that are represented around this altar tonight, even among those who are standing by their seat. God, you know. And I'm glad that nobody loves us like you love. Nobody cares like you care. I'm glad that we can commit our needs, our burdens into your hand. We can cast our cares upon you with full assurance that you are going to do right. You're going to do right. Lord, I used to think that if we'd do right by you, you would do right by us. But now I realize you're going to do right whether we do or not. You're faithful whether we are or not. Lord, I pray for the many needs that are represented in this place tonight. Children, financial needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs. I'm glad we don't have a burden so heavy you can't carry it. We don't have a need so great that you can't supply it. We commit all these needs, these burdens, into your hand. Lord, we're such a frail and needy people, oh God. We need a blessing. And we're going to thank you even now for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing the chorus with me. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. It's a good day when we come to the end of ourselves. We say, Lord, I can't. That's when he shows us he can. On Jesus. Brother Billy, God bless you. Amen. To lean, learning to lean.
We'll wait before him for another moment here.
Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you, God, for dealing with my heart. God, using your men to speak to me. I pray, God, you'd help me. God, to be absolutely 100% honest with you. God, give me a desire, burning desire, to see the real. God, to come totally dependent upon the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray that you'd show yourself to be God. Pray, our Father, that God, what you do here in this place, through this people, would be absolutely unexplainable in human terms. God, you've shown yourself to be God. God, we've tasted some of that. We've seen some of that. God, we need it now more than ever. God, I pray, our Father, that God, that you'd move in such a way that, God, that it would affect this community, this state. God, I pray your blessing on Brother Tom. Thank you, God, for the deep hunger that you put in his heart for real move of God. And God, how you've used him to ignite that desire in hundreds of other men of God. Thank you for all these pastors and singers and evangelists. And God, I pray we'd not operate in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. God, burn out everything that's in us, all of self. And I pray the Savior would be manifest in the power of God manifest. Accomplish in us what you want to do, Lord. For your own glory, get all the glory. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and magnify your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Y'all have been a blessing. Thank God for you being here. Did you want to sing one song or not? Do you want to sing? You're not? I'm going to give it. He's been back and forth, traveling up the highway. Went home last night. Could you be seated for just one moment? Let Brother Craig sing whatever God lays on his heart.
I wrote this song several years ago. Yeah, Peyton, I need you to help me, man. Make me sound good. I wrote this song several years ago for my daughter-in-law, and she had just lost her mother, and it really shook her faith. She had prayed earnestly for her mother's healing, and God took her mother home, and as I wrote the song, I had her in mind, and I never dreamed that God would use it like he has. But I think a group maybe sung it last night, and that's good. I can't sing it like they did, but I'll try it. Amen. Have you prayed for a loved one struggling hard with pain? You ask the Lord for healing, yet their healing never came. And in spite of all your efforts, the good Lord called them home. And it's hard to let go when you're trying to hold on. Now you're down in the valley, looking up to the sky. You pray, Lord, you know what's best. but I don't understand why. But if you could hear your loved one speaking now to you, they'd say you wouldn't be grieving if you only knew. If you only knew, I'm just going home. Your prayers have been answered. Thank God my sickness is gone. Things look much better from heaven's view. Here the S-O-N always shines all the time, if you only knew. To be absent from this body is present with the Lord. I'm in the arms of Jesus. I'm not suffering anymore. Hand in hand, we'll stroll together right down Heaven's Avenue. And I promise that's gonna be a great, great celebration. If you only knew, if you only knew, I'm just going home. Your prayers have been answered, and my sickness is all gone. The sun always shines. We're having a time. If you only knew. Hear the sun. Hear the sun always shines. We're having a time. If you only knew.